Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
I don't know how often writers get asked, what is your favorite book? But it gets a little wearying after a while.
That's author Julia Glass, a Boston area native who now lives in Marblehead. Ever since her debut novel, Three Junes, won the National Book Award in 2002, Glass has gotten that question about her favorite book a lot. And she's avoided answering it. Until, that is, author and editor Sean Manning asked her to write a new essay for his anthology called Bound to Last, 30 Writers on Their Most Cherished Book.
And when I realized that what I was being asked is, what book do I own that is an object that means a great deal to me, I was so excited, and I knew right away what book that was.
The anthology has a cover that's made to look like a tattered paperback. It's supposed to remind you of some old book you've cracked open 1,000 times. I sat down with Julia Glass and Sean Manning, who edited the anthology, to talk about what their most cherished books are. I started by asking Manning why he asked the question in the first place.
Because I hate e-readers, and I thought that... I just wanted to acknowledge the fact that books are objects, and that it's not just the story that's in the pages. It's how we acquire them, who gives them to us. They're really road markers in one's life. And so I thought putting together a group of fantastic writers to each pick a book that they hold dear to their hearts would kind of celebrate that, something that's been lost in the whole iPad and Kindle.
So when you're asking writers, tell us what your most cherished book is, you're not necessarily talking about the story in the book, but actually the literal book itself.
Right. In my case, I picked a book that I haven't even read, which was Ulysses. The book itself reminds me of a time in my life that I'm very fond of. And every time that I look at that book, it brings me back to that. And I think that's what physical books can do that an e-reader can't.
What all of us in this anthology, which I've been reading this morning on my way to the studio, are writing about our books as talismans that continue to signify very important times or passages in our life.
And Julia Glass, your book also has quite a bit to do with the time in your life, because it was
Yes.
a childhood book, although this book ultimately followed you throughout your life. So tell us a little bit about the childhood as you describe it. I'm particularly thinking about this book-filled house where your mother worried that the attic might collapse because so many books were up there.
Well, my father was a scholar in the midst of getting his PhD for most of my early childhood, I should add. My parents started out in Harvard Square. My father was at Harvard. And then we moved out to Belmont. And then when I was 9, we ended up in Lincoln. And my parents are still in that same house, which has not collapsed.
Although and still has the books.
My mother's making my father slowly get rid of all the books. So yes, I had a book-filled childhood. And my favorite TV show was Captain Kangaroo. And my favorite part of the show was when he sat in his rocking chair and read. And he'd read the same books over and over that we all still love today.
You mentioned Make Way for Ducklings
Way for
and
Ducklings.
Curious George
yes,
and
absolutely.
Stone Soup.
Exactly, Caps for Sale. So one day he read a new book called Roar and More. And it's essentially a book of animal poems, silly animal poems, but the graphics of the book are quite unique. And it's the first book that I remember asking my parents to get for me. I wanted to own that book. I wanted to be able to hold that book. I couldn't read yet, I think, but to have it read to me and just to have it in my possession.
You write that one of the reasons you loved this book is that it included the noises made by animals, but the fonts represented the noises. So if it was a lion's roar, it was a dark, loud font. And you describe a bee's buzz as having a little zipper-like, delicate
pattern.
Yes, it looks
like a zipper sort of roaming across the page. You read the poem about the animal. There's a simple illustration, but you turn the page, and the next spread is entirely devoted to the sound that animal makes as rendered in some interesting typography.
So you have the book in front of you, in
fact. I do, yes. And I read it often to both of my children, but they were not allowed to have it in their rooms or to even handle it unless I was closely supervising.
So there's Roar.
Roar.
It's
there's
so
roar.
Gigantic.
Yeah.
It's so gigantic that the four letters in Roar take up the entire two pages.
R-O-A-R. And notice that it's lowercase. It's this rich, thick, sans serif font. I mean, I'm not a font aficionado, so I can't name my fonts, but it's just this robust, virile roar.
What about the sound of the fish? Because you had a great description of the fish.
Let me see if I can show you the fish here. Because actually, it's funny. It's not really literally a sound. It's bubbles, and it's all O's and zeros in vertical lines and wandering curves. And I would always read this sound as blub, 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 even though it's one of the few that is not phonetic. And then the kangaroo, too, which I don't know if the kangaroo verbalizes at all, but the noise of the kangaroo is the whump, thump, thrump of their feet, their legs hitting that, you know, hard-packed desert of Australia. And then the punchline to the book is the giraffe. Because what do giraffes say? What sounds do giraffes make?
They're mostly silent, aren't they?
Right. So it's the ending is very special.
Do you want to tell us what that is, or is
that
a spoiler?
Give away the ending of a book that's out of print? I mean, please.
Well, now, speaking of out of print, you say that when you discovered it was out of print, you felt the sense of indignation. What idiot publisher would stop publishing this book?
Well, that was the beginning of my discovery that many, many great children's books, beloved children's books, go out of print for reasons quite different from adult books going out of print.
Sean Manning, how many of the writers that you asked to pick a cherished book also picked a book that was out of print? Do you remember?
Oh, man. Julie was one of the few.
Francine Prose is another.
Right. She writes about Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tales.
But a particular edition. I think.
Right, that edition, which is kind of the whole point of the book, is that each of these editions is different, from whether it's the cover or the font that's used or the number of pages. Anthony Swofford writes about a copy of The Stranger that he had carried in the first Gulf War, and he finds a copy 20 years later in his girlfriend's parents' study, and the two copies are actually the same. So they each have their own identities.
Sean Manning, thank you very much for coming on Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Julia Glass, thanks to you too.
Thank you, Sasha.
Julia Glass's latest novel is The Widower's Tale. Her essay about the children's book Roar and More appears in Sean Manning's new anthology, Bound to Last, 30 Writers on Their Most Cherished Book. The foreword to that anthology, by the way, is written by the legendary sci-fi writer Ray Bradbury. His most cherished book? It's appropriate for the tail end of the Halloween season, an old edition of Edgar Allan Poe's Tales of Mystery and Imagination. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. If you want to make comments about the show, you can post them on our website, wbur.org/boston, or email us at radioboston@wbur.org. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.